thanks once again for downloading and listening to a podcast from Celtic Underground. We are in the 21st year and the 20th season of the world's longest running football fans podcast. You can subscribe by going to thecelticunderground.substack.com and you will get correspondence, articles, emails straight to your inbox. You can pay a little bit of money and you will get exclusive content straight to your inbox. And if you go online and look on our website, you can still, you don't need to be on the Substack app, you can get all the podcasts on your usual provider. Anyway, enough of me. This is me, Harry Brady, saying enjoy the latest podcast.
Misery loves company. That's what the wise man said. The remedy.
Hi, and welcome to this week's Celtic Underground General Chit Chat podcast, where we're really getting to the tickly bit now. And I'm joined by my two See you, friends. See you, Jimmy. No, none of them are called Jimmy. By Hail History, or otherwise Matthew Marr, and the simple proper name, Stephen Ryan. Matthew, Stephen, good to see you.
Good evening.
And the real kind of the nub of it, how do we feel now compared to how we felt 11:55 on Sunday, in terms of this title race, in terms of how it's all going to pan out? I'll start with you, Matthew. What's changed over the weekend?
Nothing. If I'm going to be totally, totally blank. If you asked me before we played on Sunday, and obviously before, you know, the game on Monday night, if you'd asked me, you know, are we going to win the league? Who's going to win the league? I'd have said, I've absolutely no idea. And I've not changed from that. If you'd asked me who I thought was favourites to win the league, I would have said Hearts slightly, but again, and that's not changed either. The simple reality is that it's completely still all up in the air. Obviously, Hearts are in the strongest position, it would appear. And it may well be that they go on and win the league. But the honest answer is, I have no idea what's going to happen. There is a very obvious path to Hearts winning the league. You know, I mean, Hearts are the only team that can win three games and they win the league, definitely. So there is a big advantage, obviously, for them. From a Celtic perspective, I actually think if we win three games, we will win the league, to be perfectly honest. I do think that. But, of course, there's that, because of the issue of goal difference, there is that slight outside chance that you wouldn't. I'll also be honest, I mean, there's a pessimistic part of me, but, you know, there are still not completely outlandish scenarios where Rangers perform, you know, a Lazarus-esque resurrection. And I'm not saying I think that'll happen. I mean, I don't. If I, you know, I certainly wouldn't be putting money on it. But I'll be a lot happier when we know the outcome either way. Hopefully, that means green and white ribbons on the trophy, and at the very least, not blue and white ones. But yeah, if I'm being totally honest, neither my expectations nor my predictions nor anything have in any way shifted since the weekend.
Stephen, has your mood changed after watching that Celtic, another kind of scrabbled win? And then, did I predict Rangers winning on Sunday? Or did who predicted, one of us predicted Rangers winning last Sunday, did we know?
I did.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I thought it would. Yeah, so I'm going to keep predicting things and hopefully getting them wrong. But I don't know if my mood's changed. Like, you know, yesterday, yeah, Sunday I expected us to win. I thought it would be a hard game, which it was, probably harder than it needed to be for whatever reasons. You know, we can touch on that later on. Last night was a weird one, because I've never watched them wanting them to score before. It's really a struggle. And I'm kind of like Matthew there. Look, we've all seen the zombie movies. You think the zombie's dead, Freddy's dead, everybody, and then they come back. And until they're dead, you just don't know. But I think they're kind of dead. You know, there's the garlic round the neck, there's the stake in the heart. I don't think... And I'm surprised, like, half-time yesterday, I was texting mates, I texted on the chat, it's, you know, the shit the bed meme. I was like, I was convinced that was Hearts. That was the start of it. I thought they would falter in one of the first two games. Hibs getting the two guys sent off obviously meant it didn't happen that game. But yesterday, they were so out of it at halftime. I couldn't see them coming back. But in fairness to Hearts, they've got this, they have a resilience. They've got a bit of luck as well. So, yeah, I'm a bit less confident that we're going to win it. But I'm more confident that Rangers aren't going to win it than what, you know, so that was my big worry. Ideally, yesterday we wanted a draw, didn't we? We didn't get it, but we've no control over that. So there's no point worrying about it.
Yeah, I'm a bit like you, Stephen. It's more and more kind of feeling like this is going to be this kind of historic year for Hearts. Just the way things that have panned out for them. And they got the job done. I mean, they come back for a goal down and they weren't in it. They were dreadful in that first half. Me and you were talking to one another, Stephen, about messaging one another about how poor this Hearts team was. And then it just flipped around and you remembered how poor this Rangers team is. And then, of course, like 28 hours earlier, you were reminded how poor this Celtic team is. I mean, what did you make of that performance at Easter Road? Stephen, I'll start with you.
It's a funny one because I thought we started okay. You know, AJ makes a big difference. You know, the guy getting sent off, I think, messed with us a bit. I don't think we don't seem to be one of those teams. I remember Rodgers' first time round, like he would have them, he'd prepare for playing with 10 men against 10 men. Do you remember when Jozo gets sent off at Ibrox and he made the switch? You know, we seem to have a plan. I think we've just got a plan to go out and play it at the moment. And if something happens in the game, it changes. We just keep playing the same. We don't change it. So we didn't seem to do anything different against 10 men than we did against 11. And, you know, we were crying out. We were in the pub. One of the guys said, we've got to just get to the byline and get the ball across. And, of course, that's where the goal came from. Classic Alistair Johnson. Beats a guy, gets a bit of space, gets the ball over, you know. Douglas Ross was still in Westminster when he flagged for offside. He was that far away. He couldn't see it, but, you know, what do we expect? And that was, and then you think, well, here we go. Great, you know, just before half time, you know, maybe get another one before half time. He certainly didn't think we'd be conceding before half time. And then, you know, that, you know, their goal was just a complete comedy, you know, Scales, Negrin, Tenekte, the referee. The you know, everybody involved in that, it was just a shit show, you know. And Joe Newell knew it was a foul. You could almost see his face afterwards that he knew he'd got away with it. So, but it is what it is. And at least we bounced back and got the win, you know. And yeah, look, there was a few bad decisions. I thought we'd done enough to win. But it seems to be enough for the team at the moment. Like when we went 2-1 up, he brought another defender on. That didn't make sense to me. It was like, why aren't we going for another goal? Why is he bringing Ralston on to reshape? You know, it didn't make sense. But we won. And that's all we can keep doing is get past every game.
That's all they are doing. I mean, that's... if Harry Brady was here, he always talks about it, doesn't he, Matthew, about the negative mindset. I think Anil's in that negative mindset. I heard his interview today in Talk Sport, and he was almost kind of conceding, if it comes down to goal difference, he said it's very difficult for Celtic to win it. But, I mean, you'd think a Celtic of old, think, well, a couple of games you could maybe score a few goals, but this consistently kind of just trying to eke out, just score one more goal than your opposition. That's all it seems to be. But in fairness, it would have made a difference, Matthew. I mean, what did you make of that? I find it inexplicable. People say it wasn't conclusive that Newell almost ran down his arm like a bloody, it was as if, you know, we guys at school that used to keep mice and the mouse would run down their arm sometimes, you know, or come out of a kind of a T-shirt pocket or something, wouldn't it? Because it did, it was like, wee, all the way down. Is it extraordinary? No.
Oh, I'm I'm frankly firstly wondering, Andrew, about the school you went to where wee boys were walking about with mice inside them. You know, I think that's the first.
It's the 70s. I think it's the 70s.
You know, I think, if I'm being honest, right, if you deal with the from a refereeing perspective, there was two bizarre decisions from a VAR perspective. The goal is clearly a handball. It's the thing of the whole thing of, you know, we couldn't decide if it was a handball. Well, take your pick, because it happened more than once. You know, it quite clearly hits his arm, it comes down and it hits his hand. It is utterly, utterly blatant. And as Stephen quite rightly said, you know, Newell knew exactly what he's done. You can see him laughing as if, I can't believe I got away with that. And it really is a terrible decision. And I don't know what it is about, you know, at that half, because in the second half, how we didn't get a penalty. For the world's most blatant push. You know, I think it's one of those, I know that sometimes, this is one of my pet hates, is I really, really can't stand, I like seeing defenders, hopefully not Celtic ones, but I like seeing defenders getting caught out. You know, when they try and do this, shepherd the ball out, and then the attacker ends up winning it back. Because it's not really football, there's no skill to it. It's just, I'm a bit bigger and a bit stronger than you. But that wasn't what happened. You know, the ball is wildly in play, and it's just a very, very clear two-handed shove. And by every metric, it was a penalty. There wasn't a question. It wasn't, if the ball had been almost over the line, maybe if the ball had been on the line, you might have been able to argue, well, the contact happened when the ball had gone out. You might have been able to articulate that argument. But it wasn't. The ball is in by yards and yards and yards, and he's just shoved the player over. An absolutely blatant penalty. So, I mean, there's two major decisions. Now, I do understand, you know, as somebody interested in history, I do understand chronology. I do hate when people say, oh, if they hadn't cut that goal off and given us that penalty, well, you can't have both. You know, if the goal doesn't get cut off, the two-handed push doesn't happen. But either one of those things, especially the two-handed one, gives you longer to potentially go on and add to the goal tally. Because that is, of course, where we're short just now. You know, like, even if we do somehow catch Hearts, which is, you know, possible without being guaranteed, or, you know, we've got, as it stands, a 5-goal deficit at least to overcome. You know, presumably, you know, if you go into the final day like this, you're going to have to win by at least 3 clear goals. Now, the last time we won by more than 2 goals in a league game, or even in 90 minutes full stop, was going back like 4 months from now. You know, we beat Dundee United 4-0. And since then, okay, I know we hammered St Mirren in the end, but in this cup semi. But of course, that was an extra time, after, you know, throwing away goals. So I don't know what it is. It is going to be a weird season. I think it's going to be a season we get silverware. I touch wood. I am actually usually very pessimistic, and I'm not writing off Dunfermline. Dunfermline have beat 3 Premier teams this season, so you know there's absolutely no guarantee that we will necessarily beat them. But I have the strong feeling that in what will presumably be Martin O'Neill's last game, that we're going to go in and win that game. So you're likely to finish with at least one trophy. You could still finish with the most unlikely of doubles. But it won't take away the fact that there's a sort of a psychological block in the team. You know, we the whole club, we just don't seem to feel like we can turn up and do something. I hope that we learn that for Sunday. You know, I hope that, you know, Rangers, if Rangers don't win on Sunday, they're definitely out of the title race. And hopefully that's because, you know, we've beat them. Because, you know, clearly a draw isn't great for us either, depending, of course, on what the Motherwell Hearts game was. But I don't know, this season just feels like it sort of needs to be over. Even if we end up with a double, you know, even if we end up with a double, it just feels like a complete reset is needed. New manager, a lot of changes in players, and hopefully just a psychological difference when we come back next year.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we're all weary, and the players look as if they're weary. That's where what worries you, thinking this team could really conjure up three wins in essentially in 7-8 days. I suppose it's never. I know it's 7 days, isn't it? So it'd be Sunday to Saturday. That is a genuine 7 days. You know how that famous football one when they always say games in 8 days, 3 games in a week, and it's always 8 days because they have 2 Saturdays in it or 2 Sundays in it or something. This genuinely is 3 games in a week. Can you see Celtic winning? Rangers, then Fir Park, then home to Hearts. Because you can't play Johnston in those. You can't play this guy who's been out for 4 months and expect him to play.
I think three games,
for instance.
You just win the first one, and then you worry about the next one. And that, you know. I'm still optimistic this season. I don't know why. As you said, Matt, you made a good point. I can't wait for this season to finish. I haven't enjoyed any of it at all. I haven't enjoyed all the noise around it. Even, you know, our club this year has been, you know, you've got the old guy. And believe it or not, I'm actually one of the young guys, even though I am an old guy. But like, we've got a proper old guys that moaning about the Green Brigade and you know, the ultras and the stuff that's going on. You've got the young guys on this side, and you try and mediate with it and discuss it and have, you know, it's not been a great season. You know, people are arguing all the time. You just want it to get finished. But actually, you know, looking forward to Sunday, you know, are we better than them? I think we are. I think, you know, you can spin it. I know we look at the stats and we've not beat them over 90 minutes for a long time. You know, blah, blah, blah. Danny Rose not beat Martin O'Neill. Okay, so I know, you know, two of them were cup games and he went to extra time and penalties. We don't have Vanchara to stick away a penalty this time. You know, we don't have that extra. It doesn't matter. We won those games when we needed to win them. We done what we needed to do. The other game, we were 2-0 down and frankly dead and buried. And we still got a result in that game, despite how terrible we'd been. You know, if you compare that to the Nancy game we lost at New Year, when we were brilliant in the first half. You know, goal of the season from Yang. You know, shame that goal will be remembered. Great goal that it was will be remembered as the goal in the game we got gubbed. And then they came out and just steamrolled us in the second half. I don't see that happening. Look, if you to pick any manager over the last 25 years to play Rangers and get your result, I don't know, people say Rodgers, but Rodgers played against loads of shit Rangers teams. Do you know, with like, you know, Kachinya and Warburton and Murty. O'Neill was up against good Rangers teams. He's the guy you want. He's your wartime consigliere, to quote the Godfather. He's the guy you want in this. And, yeah, you know, whatever else he's doing, I don't know. I'm not keen on the tactics. I'm not keen on the subs. Some of the player selection is baffling. But one thing I know for sure, he'll have his pumped up on Sunday. And you know, so, and then we just worry about Sunday. Next week, we'll worry about the Motherwell game. I think, in Motherwell have got a lot to play for still, actually. They need a result at the weekend to guarantee a European place. So I'm looking on the basis that Motherwell get the result at the weekend, and by the time they play us, their players are on holiday. Askew is signing a pre-contract with Celtic. Happy days, here we go. You know, but that's all I'm hanging on to at the moment.
No, there's a lot of good stuff to hang on to there, and I hang the same way, you know? Like, but my counterfactual is, you hinted at it, Celtic haven't beaten Rangers in the league since September the 1st, 2024, my birthday 2 years ago. And I'm now, I've aged 17 years since then, so that's how long ago it was. But, Matthew, extraordinary that six league games have come and gone since Celtic have beaten Rangers in the league, which is the joint longest sequence without a win against Rangers in 29 years, since between 1995 and 97, when they went 10 league games without a win against Rangers. It's extraordinary, is it not? And it's shocking.
I think it is. I mean, to some extent, and again, it'll obviously depend on how this season finishes, I think part of the reason that it's been lost in the ether, as it were, is some of that is, you know, slightly hidden. We actually have beat Rangers in various cup games in that time. You know, it's not, you know, if we hadn't met Rangers in any cup games in that time and we were saying, oh, no, I can't believe it. But the reality is, I know we've gone to go extra time. We've even had to go to penalties if you think about the League Cup final, like last season and all the rest of it. But the reality is, you can argue the games that have mattered most, we've won. Because, you know, the reality was, even though it's September 2024 since we beat them, well, who won the league in 2025? Well, that would be us. Well, every time we met them in a cup game, who won? Well, that would be us. And so I think that, you know, that's why it's quite, I think that's probably one of the reasons that in some ways it perhaps you don't realise it, because we have beat them, and we have beat them in games that have mattered. Well, yeah, we haven't beat them in the league, but that didn't stop us winning the title. Now, this season, again, it will depend. You know, if we beat them on Sunday, I mean, you don't even necessarily have to beat them. You know, Motherwell beat Hearts on the Saturday. You can actually draw on the Sunday. Obviously, you would then have to win your last two games. But in those circumstances, you would actually, you know, you would be able to win it yourself, and you wouldn't even have to worry about goal difference. So we have this weird situation where, in theory, we could go to, well, it will be two calendar years, because obviously, at least, because the next time we'll play them now will obviously be sort of September-ish time. So we could be in the situation where we go two calendar years without beating them, but we still claim, what, four trophies as it would have been in that time, if we win the league and the Scottish Cup, and I'm not saying those are likely. And that probably does cover up a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
Whereas on Sunday, you know, again, this is why I go back to earlier, and I like Stephen's, you know, that analogy of, you know, you watch the zombie films where you know that they're dead until that they're actually not. I'll be in this regard, I suppose I'd be happier when the end credits are rolling so that we know for sure that there's not going to be a sort of comeback. But the honest answer is, Sunday could be great. If Hearts Hearts don't even have to lose on Saturday. If Hearts simply drop points at Fir Park, I think it'll already be a big atmosphere at Celtic Park. I think, you know, if we go into it thinking, knowing that there's a real chance to do something significant, then great, we might well get the win. Of course, the reverse is true. Hearts win at Fir Park, we lose on Sunday, and suddenly, you know, realistically, you would assume Hearts would win the title even before the final day. I go back to what I said earlier. I think the whole season's been topsy-turvy. You know, there's been, what, two times in the season when all three teams have won. Now, there's only one more time that can actually happen this season. It obviously can't happen this weekend, and it can't happen on the final day either, so only next midweek. But in a season where every single time you say, oh, this team's out it, or this team's going to win, or this team's about to do something, and it never quite pans out. It never quite pans out that way. So, yeah, I hope that Motherwell can take something. I hope that that then puts us in a position where we know, you know, that it's completely in our own hands. Do I think we can win the next three games? Well, four games if you count the cup final. Absolutely. I genuinely do. I don't say that on the basis that we've been a great team. This is not, you know, the great O'Neill teams, you know, where you just would have thought, you know, if this isn't your team of Sutton, your Harts and your Thompsons, your Larsons, where you think, if we turn up needing a big win, we're going to get it. And it's also not just that, oh, we're Celtic, you know, so it'll happen. It's sort of a common sense element. We are the champions. We have reached two cup finals this season. We are favourites to win the remaining one. We have got a squad that repeatedly has shown itself to be the best in the country. Now, that can always disappear. But, yeah, I absolutely think on Sunday we can win. I'm not saying we will, but I do believe that we can. And then we can go on and do the other two wins that I think would give us the title.
Yeah, it's getting that. Surely to God, there's never been a game that's mattered in those 2 years, as you say, Matthew, because Celtic could have lost. Could have even lost the one they won last year and still won the league. But this one, they can't really lose and win the league. So this is the first one that really it's been on the line in this fashion against Rangers, you know, in terms of winning a derby, a league derby, and having to win a league derby. So you're hoping that, as Stephen says, like the one thing that you can be assured of is an crystallising minds, getting them in the right frame of mind for it. And the other thing that my boy excitedly ran to tell me tonight, that Hearts have never, the last time Hearts won four consecutive league games was in October. Now they've won three. So is Motherwell going to be their Waterloo? Now I heard another thing I heard tonight from a mole in the Motherwell camp is they are absolutely gagging to give Hearts a bloody nose, because there was a bit of afters following the 3-1 game. And the Hearts players were coming up to saying, oh, so you play such great football. It was a couple of the players were taunting the Motherwell guys. Oh, you're the guys that play the great football. Well, you can't play great enough football to beat us, can you? Because, of course, Motherwell haven't beaten Hearts. I was really pleased to hear that tonight, because I thought, into the bargain, they've got guys that will you know, Welsh, McGinn and O'Donnell, you know, these guys, when push comes to shove, you know, they'll want to both give them a bloody nose and the boyhood team that they've supported, if it helped them along the way, and get the job done, as Stephen, as you say, Stephen. I mean,
they're doing it for themselves too, aren't they? Yeah, not just for Celtic, but for Motherwell too.
And our old friend Asker as well. Look, he's got to see this as if he pulls it off against Hearts after beating Rangers, does it not again burnish his credentials, Stephen?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, does he need to do that?
I'm kind of biased, but that's, you know, that's every league in the world, isn't it? You know, it's like, wasn't there something that the Spanish teams, you used to get the Barcelona or Real Madrid were offering bribes to the team, or not bribes, they were offering some sort of gift to the players that were playing against the other lot to make them, you know, you get a bonus if you beat Real Madrid, you're all getting a new Rolex or whatever. I'm not saying we go down that route, but there is enough there. I'd heard the same thing about you with the afters with Hearts, and I think a lot of the Hearts players are like McInnes. I find McInnes quite an unpleasant guy. I just don't warm to him. You know, whereas Danny Rowe, I find more of a comedy figure. Do you know, there's you know, Stevie Gerrard, I couldn't abide either. McInnes is more in the Gerrard mould. And I think he's got a number of players like that in that team. You look at that Leonard that came in at Christmas is one of those.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Shanklin's a bit like that as well. There's a few of them that are a bit snidey. And I'd say there's probably a few things said when they beat Motherwell. You know, they were 3-0 up against them. They couldn't finish them off. You know, there's been... So I'm just hoping the Motherwell players are going to... Like, Stephen Welsh, I think we've seen in the two games against Rangers, he's very much up for doing Celtic a favour. Because he nearly took the dressing room door off when he went in last week. And, of course, he got the goal in the other game. You know, O'Donnell, you know, McGinn's granddad was the chairman of the club. They're proper Celtic people. You know, you were talking about Rangers players coming to play Celtic, and there's not that old, like, dyed-in-the-wool, you know, West of Scotland Parodies in the team. It's a mercenary thing. Motherwell actually probably have some more... They probably have more Celtic men in their team than we have, or as many as we have, in terms of, you know, family Celtic fans.
True.
They're not going to lie down to Hearts.
No, you know, no. So, as I say, like, they feel as if they owe them one. That's the other thing I heard. They feel as if they owe them one. And they're good enough. That's the other thing. They are good enough at Fir Park. Yeah. They are good enough to get a result against Hearts.
They probably won't lie down to us either.
No, that's, I know. That's the problem. They could probably get a result against Hearts. They'd probably like to do the treble, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Because my boy was saying as well, he said, you look at it and it's like, I think that's 20 points between Motherwell and Rangers. And you think, how did that happen?
Yeah.
How did it happen? They just fell off. I suppose that you've said it on here before, Stephen, that they don't necessarily have players of the calibre that you can consistently churn out the performances. That's when that's what you pay for, isn't it? That's what players at a higher level. It's not so much whether you can get any players within a certain environment can have their great days, but it's good players have their great days 7 weeks out of 10, don't they?
Yeah.
And I mean, look, in terms of Matthew, in terms of, I don't even know. It's bizarre. We talk about this and we hope for different, but we just have to accept Anil's going to go probably with the starting lineup from Sunday, isn't he? Next Sunday. He's going to Easter Road starting lineup.
I would think so. I think he's not going to start Iheanacho. I can't envisage him starting Iheanacho in any case. You know, obviously with Iheanacho, you know you're going to get comfortably. I get the impression that they think they get comfortably half an hour out of him. I mean, I think that, all jokes aside, I think...
No, I agree with you, but it's just preposterous in a way, isn't it?
So that's clearly what some of the thinking is. And your only debate, I think the Rangers get, I think this is slightly different. I think in a lot of games, I've sometimes wondered about starting him, and the reason being, a lot of teams often, you know, sit back against us. And actually, that's when you need somebody like Iheanacho that can break down against you. Whereas we often bring him on at a time where you're chasing the game, where, you know, or even if it's level, where the other team is maybe feeling a bit more confident and coming at you. you know, if we're bringing Ian Acho, and it's often been because it's us that's desperate for the goal, and the other team is maybe feeling a bit confident. So I'm not so sure. There's part of me thinks I can see the merit in starting Ian Acho. I don't think there's any way that he's going to do that. I think the only possible change on Sunday would be starting Forrest. But I don't think he will, to be honest. But I think that, to me, that would be the only change. But would O'Neill, does he want to be predictable? If we're sitting here saying that's going to be the Celtic team, and I think most people probably think that, then Rangers are, of course, doing the exact same thing. So your only question is, does O'Neill say, right, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to start Hitate, for example. Rio remains one of those players. A genuine match winner on his day. Otherwise, to be honest, a bit of a dead weight for the last year and a bit. If he's not the match winner, you know, he really doesn't offer enough. And it sounds stupid to say he doesn't offer enough in the games. He doesn't offer enough. But, you know, if he doesn't do something magical, then to be honest, you just feel a bit like, right, we've just basically played we've played with 10 men for a period. But that would be the only thing O'Neill might do. He might take the view, we're at home, Rangers with the best will in the world, right? What motivation do Rangers have ahead of Sunday? There's probably three issues. One, again, I know I'm being outlandish and I know I'm joking about the zombie thing, but there is a not completely outlandish scenario that takes them back in. You know, Hearts beat Motherwell Motherwell beat Hearts on Saturday. Rangers beat us. Suddenly, you know, they're 4 points behind Hearts. They're a point behind us. It just takes, well, we actually could win at Motherwell as long as we didn't beat Hearts from a Rangers perspective on the final day. And Rangers win the league. Now, again, I really am not saying that's going to happen. But there is still a certain motivation for Rangers in that regard. There is also just a pride element, an element of messing it up for us. Well, if it's not going to be, you know, at least we'll stop you celebrating. Beyond that, though, if I'm being totally honest, if they don't believe that, and I have no idea what the mood in the Rangers camp is, obviously, but if they don't believe that, with the best will in the world, the team, if you've got two teams that are relatively evenly matched, and one of them has a genuine motivation and desire to win, and the other doesn't, you would expect the one with the motivation. Now, we are the team on paper with the biggest motivation. We're at home. We've also got that incentive of, you know, not wanting to go to, you know, what would be by September 2 full years without beating them over 90 minutes. So you've got to hope that all that goes in our favour. But I think in terms of the team, yeah, I can't envisage anything different. He might, as I say, the only thing I could see is starting Hitate and trying to shift things around slightly that way. But if it's Sunday's team, yeah, that wouldn't particularly surprise me, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about it with a friend just before I come on. You think even Oxlade-Chamberlain in the Negrin position, Oxlade-Chamberlain or Hitate in the Negrin position, even if you're only going to get 60 minutes out of, and Negrin coming off the bench might actually be the way that you should use Negrin. If you had a better squad, that is the way you use Negrin. But in the week that he gets the player of the year, it just seems like, which manager was it that he, was it Nancy, like, didn't play him much? He kind of dropped.
I think Nancy, he was getting it on as a sub rather than starting,
He was, that's what I was thinking, but no one else has kind of grasped the nettle in that front. Rodgers didn't play him he's playing it every game now under O'Neill. I'm even wondering, did he play every game under O'Neill first time around him? I'm not convinced, but he seems to have cemented his place as his form is shaded in terms of what he was good at, was scoring goals, and he's got 3 in 2 months or something. I mean, he's not somebody you're expecting anything out of, really. It's so strange. It's so strange. Can you see him doing anything different, Stephen? The thing, what used to always strike me, there used to be this in the Strachan Smith, Walter Smith time. They were always trying to kind of pull a surprise. And I remember we spoke to Smith about it. And we spoke to Strachan about it. He said, the worry is, you don't want to surprise yourself by you put out a team. If you think about it, Strachan did certain things. The only time that Venegas, Hesselink and Samaras played as a two strikers was against Rangers when they lost 1-0 to a Kevin Thompson. That was the 2009 time, I think. There was also a time he played Darren O'Day right back. Do you remember that when they lost 3-1? He used to do strange things. He overthought it. He probably overthought it. But the problem, I think, is like O'Neill's underthinking it. There's a middle thought.
Yeah. There's no, what can we change? Just looking, actually, Negrin, the four league games that O'Neill had, first time round, Negrin didn't start. So we beat... He started the Falkirk game, and then he didn't start any of the next four that we won. Strangely.
So it was O'Neill that... It was O'Neill that kind of slid him out of sight.
He scored against Falkirk, but then he didn't play at all in any of the next four. You know, so... Yeah, and then he came back in against Aberdeen under Nancy. He scored two against Livingston when he started. And then he's kind of pretty much been in the team ever since. You know, right. I got that wrong.
I knew there was a...
I thought it was Nancy that benched him rather than O'Neill. But O'Neill, if you remember, his first time round, O'Neill seemed to get much more out of Hitati. He seemed to like put an arm around him, and he was the player that suddenly he was looking a guy. But he seems to have, I don't know what's happened there. There seems to be a falling out of some sort, and he's just not picking him. You know, somebody, I had something today, somebody said maybe you play Hitati or Oxlade-Chamberlain in the midfield and you put Negrin wide. Tenekti's an impact player as well. Tenekti's no good from the start. You know, he's made a couple of decent contributions in recent weeks, but actually starting a game, I don't think he does enough. Like, you know, so for me, you've got, if Negrin's an empty jersey, so is Tenekti. So you get two empty jerseys. You might as well have Negrin have them empty over there. And maybe, you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain, although in the last derby he was well off it as well, wasn't he, at Ibrox?
He was.
He didn't catch the pace of the game at all. So, but whereas Hitati was excellent in the two games against Rangers. So, I don't know. I think we need to make at least one or two tweaks. He's not going to change defence. That's...
No. That's nailed down. But do you know what I think is in O'Neill's thinking? And it, managers do this. Look at who started. Matthew, when you were talking about whether Iheanacho would start, look at the last time Iheanacho started. And look at who started that game as well. Tanadice. He's looking at that team and thinking, that team doesn't work. Iheanacho starting and Hitati starting. That's the last time those two started. It's almost as if I'm never going to make that mistake again. And it's like they just fixate on that. I've seen managers doing this all through the years. They look at one game where everything didn't work and then they think they can cite a couple of reasons for it and then they make sure they don't make that mistake again. I remember Celtic drew 2-2 with Derry City. Wim Janssen's first game, it was the Irish pre-season tour, and he came off that and he said, I thought you, and he was saying it to people, he said, I thought you told me these two guys, Tosh McKinley and Jackie McNamara, were fullbacks. He said, they will never play again for me if I'm playing a back four. And I don't think Tosh ever, they may have played in a kind of five, you know, they may have had the back three, but and he was right, they weren't bog standard four at the back fullbacks because they were more overlapping. And the defensive qualities were kind of limited. So he was quite a defensive coach really when it came to it. But they just get these things in their heads. And it's amazing, you can't really budge them. I suppose you have to be, of the courage your convictions as a manager. You can't. Because the flip-floppers, they don't work either. The tinker men and all that, do they? What do you think, Matthew?
No, I think you're right. Again, there's not going to be, I think as Stephen hinted at, if you go through the team, there's just people that you know he's going to play. The back four does, the goalkeeper picks himself, the back four picks itself. Midfield, that's probably where there's a little bit more flexibility. He's obviously going to start Callum McGregor, so you know there's a guarantee there. He does seem set on Negrin, which, you know, whether or not that is where you could make a change is a separate point. You go up front, Obviously, you know, we've got, you know, clearly Maeda is going to start. I would presume, you know, Yang will start as well. Tineke probably is the one I would change. You know, part of me would, I think he does better coming off the bench. I think most of the games this season, when you think of him doing anything, he's come off the bench. I might be inclined to give Forrest a chance. But Forrest equally, possibly, from a crossing perspective, would do better if Iheanacho was on. So there's that question of, it's not just a matter of, you know, saying, well, how do we make a change just for the sake of making a change? You know, the change you make has to fit in with everyone that's on. That's why I suspect you're right, Andrew, that, you know, Sunday starting team will be what happens. You would assume then again, depends how the game goes. You know, maybe we'll be 5-0 up after an hour. That's a very optimistic thing, but maybe we will. But on the basis that presumably that by that time that it's, you know, relatively tight, whatever way it's tight, I think you would expect on about the hour mark to see Iheanacho, you would expect to see Forrest coming on. But all jokes aside, it does depend. You know, if we were 2-0 up, you know, touch wood and all the rest of it, but if you were 2-0 up on the hour mark, you might be more inclined to say, well, we don't really need to go for it. You maybe put Iheanacho on from a perspective of hold the ball up, but maybe you don't bring on Forrest. You maybe bring on a McCowan. You maybe slightly sit back. I mean, again, I think it very much, it's one of these things trying to, you know, we don't actually know what the starting team is going to be. No one does. I suspect even O'Neill doesn't 100% know what the starting team is going to be. So we don't know what the starting team is going to be. We don't know how the game is going to go. So we've no idea what substitutions, you know, that this as yet effectively mythical team is going to do. But yeah, I think Sunday will be much the same as last Sunday. You just hope, as I said before, that we're the ones with the biggest momentum, both in terms of an incentive to win, but also, you know, playing at home and all the rest of it.
And of course, the winning of the game, it doesn't win you the league, Stephen, but what it does guarantee is that Rangers finish third and don't get you. It guarantees you a Champions League qualifier. Yeah. This is what is riding on Sunday. It's like the top two positions in the sense of like the two Champions League for the last time, and it'll be the last time in my lifetime probably. Like we'll see like two Scottish teams attempting and probably failing to get into the Champions League.
Yeah, you don't want, you know, it's like an England team celebrating finishing fourth or fifth now to get in the Champions League. It does seem a bit like, you know, we've never done that. We've never celebrated that we finished second and got a Champions League slot. You know, usually if we're finishing second, it's because we've lost the title. You know, we've made a balls of it. You know, but this year, it absolutely is important. You know, there's obviously one of the big worries about Rangers winning the title is they would have had direct Champions League, probably. And yes, that, you know, that money and that swing, you know, could have been, you know, wipe out a big part of Celtic's advantage. You could say Hearts winning the league wipes out a large part of it. It does. You know, we can still go out in the summer and flex our muscles and get a new manager and actually do things properly like we did when we brought in Ange and when we brought in Rodgers first time around and reset. I'm less convinced that we're set up to do that, but that's a different issue. You know, Hearts will have a difficult qualification to go through because they've never been in the Champions League before, but you don't know what, you know, if they finish first or second, what they will spend and what they will look to do. And if you look at the models of like Brighton and USG where he's been involved, the players that do well, they sell them. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised if this summer, like, somebody's in looking at Claudio Braga. Yep. Somebody's looking at, Shanklin, would they get an offer on, and they might cash in. I don't know. Scotland's probably different, you know, but you're looking in Belgium, they've sold two players in recent years to Club Bruges, who's their direct competitors. Both have turned out to be crap when they went to Bruges, so neither's actually worked out. So you could argue that their model is quite good because they sell players at the top of their value, and then they've dipped, you know. But yeah, get back to Champions League. Absolutely. Look, if we don't win the league, we need to be in the Champions League, you know. And, yeah, that's a big selling point for any manager you're trying to attract, any player you're trying to attract in the summer as well. It's Champions League or Conference League. That's massive. Yeah.
this game is definitely is deciding at least who finishes third.
Yeah.
The derby does. Well, it decides that if Celtic win it, like it's Celtic's chance to make sure they don't finish third. Mm. You can't say they're going to finish first through it, but they can make sure they don't finish third.
There's an obvious question, though, that, you know, if we do win on Sunday and if we go on to win the league, do we throw the Scottish Cup final so Rangers are in the Conference League rather than the Europa?
I was talking about that tonight as well. Oh, it'd be tempting because there's no money to be made in the Conference. It would be bloody tempting. Oh, so I'm going to do the old Harry Brady farewell. And before I do, as always, we have to get some predictions. Do you want to predict the wrong thing, Stephen, so that you, the thing that you don't want to happen?
Yeah, I'm not good at getting them right. Although I've got Celtic winning the last two weekends, so if I kind of stick to that and just don't mind, you know, if I predict a Celtic win and a Motherwell win, no, sorry, a Celtic win and a Hearts win, then that's, you know, hopefully puts enough of a hex on the Hearts result.
Yeah. So what's your scoreline for Celtic? We'll spare you the Hearts.
I'm going 2-0 Celtic. I think we'll just do enough. I think we'll do, but it'll be a crap game.
Matthew, you know? It's not you. It's Ross. It's our dear friend Ross that never refuses to do any predictions. But you do predictions. I'm sure you do.
No, I'm going to join Ross on this particular issue. Okay.
Well, I'm going to.
No, I honestly don't know. I genuinely don't know. I think we have to turn up on Sunday with a really, really strong mindset, because I think otherwise there's a danger that, you know, if you give them any encouragement. We saw, you know, a really good example, a bit like the reverse of how the Hearts game worked with Rangers, but, you know, the last time they were at Celtic Park was a bizarre game, because the reality was the first half, we weren't just a little bit better, we weren't just on top. We absolutely destroyed, apart from scoring, we absolutely destroyed them in that first half. And if we could have bottled that, I mean, obviously, that Nancy would have kept his job. But, you know, if we'd kept that up for the 90 minutes, there's no question you'd have finished 3-4-0.
Oh, yeah.
You just absolutely battered them. We need to turn up with that mindset, and it needs to be there the 90 minutes. Are we capable of winning? Of course we are. Of course we are. You know, we're the champions. We're at home. There's all sorts of things in our favour for winning on Sunday. Am I going to predict anything? No. My one, not so much a prediction, but my one hope is a very, very simple one. I hope, a couple of things. I hope Motherwell can do something on Saturday to really add to the incentive for us, even a draw. Yeah. And then I hope Hearts start looking and Hearts fans start thinking about the history of 86. You know, 27 games unbeaten run. I think the last game they lost was in September. They were, and it was certain. This time, okay, they're close at the finish line. They've not been on that length of unbeaten run. But even though they look like they're in a great position, I just hope after this weekend we come out it. The one prediction I had made then, I'll say this then. This is again maybe why I shouldn't, but 8 games out before the split. So I said Hearts next 4 games, I think they'll drop points in 2 out of the 4, and they did.
Right.
The next 4 games, I said again, I think Hearts will drop 2 out of the 4, and again they did. I said before the split began, I didn't think Hearts would win more than 3 games. I still think that's the case. Whether we're
right.
In a position to take advantage of that, though, is a completely different thing.
But hopefully Hearts could lose.
They were on for that.
I saw something today. Hearts could lose their next 2 matches, come to Celtic Park and win the league. That's mental. So if we win our 2, they lose their 2, they'll come to Celtic Park 3 points behind, but they could beat us and win the league. So, you know, it's just that mad a season, isn't it? You know, but I don't see that happening. I don't see that being a likely scenario. But it is, you know, it's tight. You know, I look at the English one, I thought Man City had done enough. They tracked that, they hunted Arsenal down, they beat them, they battered them in the cup, they beat them in the league, and then they tossed it at Everton last night. You know, so there will be twists and turns yet, and just hopefully they're not against us. That's just, you know, that's just all I'm thinking, you know. It could be, you know, Motherwell beat Hearts and draw with Celtic, and we beat Rangers, and we go into the last game. So what would that mean? Motherwell if Hearts get 3 points, they'll be six up. But we'll be two behind. So we just need a win in the last day. So us dropping points at Motherwell after Hearts dropping points to Motherwell could be the weird one, you know? Or if Motherwell beat them 3-0 and beat us 1-0. I don't know, but if we're still in it on the last day, that's all we can ask it. I don't think we can win it before the last day now.
No.
Yeah, after yesterday's result.
Yeah, only Harps. Yeah.
No, only Harps. Only
so
Harps.
The Martin O'Neill redemption curve app, redemption arc app for Park is gone.
It's gone.
But he can still get a good result at Fir Park. Yeah,
that's true. I mean, I'm actually going to go for it. I think it will be a 2-2 draw at Fir Park on Saturday night. And then Sunday, Celtic will win 3-1. So we'll be happy as Larry come Sunday afternoon. And we'll be thinking, this is on. This is well and truly on. It's going to be a right gunk. See when I watched that Hearts game and you think, God, because it's close. You've been for months in this season, I've been thinking, this isn't going to happen. This isn't going to be one of those seasons. And then when you saw Hearts winning and I thought I would have been more content and more kind of pleased to watch a Rangers team losing, but I felt empty. I felt empty because I thought, wow, this does take the league further away from Celtic. And you think, I don't mind so much as long as it's no Rangers that win it. And then you think, nah, that's not the case. Celtic don't win a league now. I mean, you are conditioned to Celtic winning the league. If Celtic don't win a league now, it's like, that's a long summer. It's a long summer. So on that note, we'll say, we're going to have a short summer. And because I'm feeling better now because my wife's just brought me in 4 Empire biscuits, which are vegan, believe it or not. They're vegan. So I'm going to eat 4 Empire biscuits, one for every goal that's going to be scored at Celtic Park on Sunday. So thanks for your time, gentlemen. Lovely to see you. Take care. Okay. God bless. Bye.
Cheers. Can I? Cheers.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision, and also subscribe to thecelticunderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are two types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address. And then there's a paid-for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And this is me, Harry Brady, saying goodnight and God bless. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.